היום יום השישי בשבת קודש. So we are we're learning Nevi'im. We're in the book of Shofetim. We're in Perek Dalet. And we're up to Pasuk Dalet. Udvora isha nevi'a eshet lapidot. He shofta et Israel ba'et ha'hi. Vi yoshevet tahat tomer devora. Ben harama uben bet'el behar Ephraim. Ve'ya'alu eleha b'nei Israel la'mishpat. Ve'teshlach ve'tekra le'barak ben Abinoam mekedesh Naftali. ותאמר אליו, הלא סיבה, אדוני, אלוהי ישראל, לך ומשכת בהר תבור, ולקחת עמך 10,000 איש, מבני נפתלי ומבני זבולון. ויזעק ברק את זבולון ואת נפתלי קדשה, וקדשה, ויעל ברגליו 10,000 איש, ותע לימוד דבורה, וחבר הקני נפרד מקין, ובני חובב חותן משה, וית אהולו עד אלון בסענים, אשר את קדש, ויגידו לסיסרה כי עלה ברק בן אבינועם הר תבור. Today, compared to what we usually do, that's correct. All right, Sam, you're here for the Nevi'im? Okay, Baruch Abba. So we're learning now about, last week we learned about the story of the people were doing Ra. Ra, we said, has to do with immorality. And that's why they were sold to Yavin. Yavin is the Klipah of immorality. That's the Zele Umadze of Yoshua Benun, which represents Kedushat Berit. Mele Kena'an, which represents the To'evot of Kena'an. Asher Malach Behasor. Hasor, we said, is Gematria Shed. Because they don't have the Brit Milah. When you have the Brit Milah, we said you have Shem, Shin, Dalet, and Yud on the body. These people came from Hasor. Mesal Sevo Sisera. Sisera, we said, is the enemy that rises up against them. Of course, Sisera has a bad mouth. It says he blasphemed God. Kubalim say he was the Gilgul of Paro. Paro's otiyot Pera. We learned last week that the mouth and the Brit Milah are in the same grid. That rest assured, if a person wastes his words, you can believe he's wasting other things as well, his energies. Therefore, Shemirat HaPeh is very important. Shemirat HaPeh and Shemirat HaBerit work hand in hand. And we said that they were under the thumb of Sisera and Yavin for 20 years. That's what we left off last week. Ayin Sham. Udvora Isha Nevi'a. So there's a lady, Tzadeket, her name is Devora. She's a prophetess. He shofta et Israel ba'etahi. She was the shofetet. I'm not going to go in today. We did this many years ago. The validity of a lady shofetet. Of course, the moderns love this. I see the Deborah. So it's a proof to them that, you know, you can have a lady rabbi, you can have a lady poseket, a lady dayenet, hachama. And Devorah, she was, she shoftat Yisrael, she was the shofetet. The Torah says, she was eshet lapidot. Maze eshet lapidot, the wife of lapidot. Who is lapidot? You ever hear the name Lapidus? That's where they get it from. That's Lapidot. Lapidot, Lapidus. I'm not saying that guy's name. I'm saying the exact name is Lapidot. Ashkenazim, they call Lapidus. That's Lapidus, Ted Lapidus. He built Shari Sion. The name is an old name, but what does it mean, Lapidot? So it says, Eshet Lapidot Shehaita Osa Petilot LeMikdash. So they nicknamed her Lapidot because she used to make Petilot wicks for the Bet HaMikdash. Besides all the other things she did, she made wicks for the Bet HaMikdash. Shehaita Osa Petilot LeBet HaMikdash. Huh?
Call her Eshet Petilot. Lapidot is Lapid from the plane.
Lapidot is Petilot. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's a sophisticated way. You call her whatever you want, but the Navi is calling over here Lapidot, because Lapidot is Petilot. That's the same word. And where is she sitting? I mean, all this stuff obviously is important. Vi yoshevet taha tomer devora. That's where the Tomer Devorah comes from, this pasuk. Tahat Tomer, temarim ayula biriho. In Jericho, there was a lot of dates. So she would sit under the date tree. Okay. That's important to know, where she sat. And it was a date tree. It wasn't a fig tree. If the book is the book of teaching us lessons, anyway, it says all the Jewish people would come to her for questions. She was a shofetet, mamash, she'elot. She was a isha hakama. V'tishlach v'tekra lebarak ben Abi Noam. So she then called the services of a fellow called Barak ben Abi Noam. Mekedesh Naphtali, that came from the Naphtali region. Now, who was this guy, Barak ben Abi Noam? What is she calling him? So the Radak says it was a husband. So she sent to call her husband? Where was her husband? It was on a business trip? Where was he? ותומר אליו, הלא סיבה השם אלוהי ישראל, לכו משכתה בהר תבור ומקדמך 10,000 איש. Go muster up the army. We gotta go fight this guy, Sisera. So she sends a message to her husband, go get 10,000 people. ומשכתה אליך על נחל קישון, and go to נחל קישון to Sisera, and to יבין, and to his chariots, and don't worry, you're gonna win. ותומר אליה ברק, so ברק says, אם תלכי עמי והלכתי, if you come with me, I'll go. ואם לא תלכי עמי, לא אלך. Okay, she says, this is what I want, you gotta come with me. ותומר, הלוך אלך עמך. And then he says, but I'm telling you now, כי לא תהיה תפארתך על הדרך אשר אתה הולך. You're not gonna get the glory of the victory, כי ביד אישה ימכור השם את סיסרא. סיסרא is gonna fall by the hands of a lady. You told him the end of the story. Okay, Ya'el. Vatakum Devorah, Vatelechim Barak Kedcha. So they go together. Vayezaek Barak, Zevulum and Naphtali Kedcha. They went 10,000 people. Devorah went also. Vehever Akeni, Nefrad Mikayin, Vibne Chobab, Hoten Moshe. And it tells us about the family of Yitro over here. The son-in-law of Moshe. So they were in that region. Ve'yagidu le'sisera, they told Sisera, ki ala Barak ben Avinoam har tavor. And he ends up, as we'll see, he ends up falling to the hands of one of the people of Yitro's family. Ya'el is Hever HaKeni. So that's the story. Now, what's going on over here? So, in order to understand this, we have to go back to the Torah itself. The sin is immorality. The sin is that I'm doing Brit Milah. That was the avon that the people were doing over here in the times of Sisera. That's why they got sold to these guys, because these guys are connected to that inyan. Now the Torah tells us that there were a few women that were dedicated to the mitzvah of Brit Milah. One of those women was none other than Tzipporah Eshet Moshe. One of her claim to fame was is that when Moshe Rabbeinu was coming towards Egypt, and for whatever reason he decided to delay the Brit Milah, I'm sure he had good reason why he wanted to delay the Brit Milah. It wasn't out of laziness, it was a b'hashbon gadol. But nonetheless, there was a claim against Moshe Rabbeinu, and the baby and Moshe was in sakana. So the pasuk says that Tzipporah rose to the occasion, and she took a rock or a knife, and she went and she circumcised her son. And with that circumcision, saved the baby and saved Moshe. And that's a famous story of Tzipporah and her commitment to the inyan of Brit Milah. Tzipporah, of course, was married to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hakamim say that Tzipporah herself, who was a great tzaddiket, the daughter of Yitro, we don't have to say more than that, Eshet Moshe, Shtoki Gufo, but at a certain point, Moshe Rabbeinu separated from Tzipporah, not because of Chas V'Shalom, any Shalom Bayit, but because he needed to be on call for the Shekinah's words. So he has to be ready every moment. You understand? So he cannot be with his wife. The Midrash says that Tzipporah had claims on Moshe for that. Oh yeah, sure. There was claims. You know, Miriam verbalized those claims. You know what I mean? Akrak be Moshe liber. We're all prophets. Well, why is he separating? You know, remember she said those poor when she heard about Eldar and Medad that were prophesizing, that she brings it down. And she said, "Oh, those poor wives, those poor wives. Now that they're prophets, they're going to have to separate from their wives, like Moshe did to me." That's how Miriam knew. Hey, what do you mean separate? Why did you separate? What happened? Anyway, okay, that's a story. Now, although Tzipporah is a great tzaddiket, she was deprived of one major zechut, as well as Moshe's children were deprived of the major zechut. They never came out of Mitzrayim. It's an irony over here. You talk about Yitziyat Mitzrayim, and the only people that did not come out of Mitzrayim was Tzipporah and Moshe's kids. Lavdi, you know, they say the shoemaker, his kids don't have shoes. Moshe Rabbeinu was the goel, all the miracle, and who missed the whole story? Tzipporah and they were back in Midian. So they missed the makot, they missed all the Kiryat Yamsuf, the Shira, Kiryat Yamsuf, all that action. No, they were there, Matan Torah, they made it. That's why Yishmael Yitro, they came to Matan Torah. But that's a machlok itself. But we'll give it to you, because I don't want you to get too nervous. I see you nervous now. They came to Matan Torah, don't worry about it, sleep good. They came to Matan Torah. Anyway, so it's an incredible thing. I once explained, one time a guy asked me, why isn't Moshe's name in the Haggadah? It's an old question, and we discussed this a lot of times. A couple of years ago, the New York Times, Lehavdil, wrote an article on the front page, Pesach time, of the Reconstructionist Haggadah. The Reconstructionists, that they felt that Judaism needed some reconstructing because they felt it was demolished by, the old values that it has. And they felt, how can it be that a Haggadah Shel Pesach has no mention of Moshe Rabbeinu? Is that right? Man did so much work for the people, and you don't even mention his name. These are the same people that felt that the Imahot also were left out of the Amidah, so they added Elohe Avraham Sarah, Elohe, you know, Yitzhak Rivka, you know, they did the Imahot a big favor, because the Hakamim must have been chauvinist, and they didn't want to, you know, put ladies in the, you know, just like the community magazine, we don't put ladies in the magazine. So a guy comes to me and says, you know, the community magazine, they doctored a picture and they took out a 90-year-old woman. I said, okay, you're getting all excited. I have the picture. You want to look at a 90-year-old woman? I'll give you the picture. For this, you're getting all excited for me? I have the picture. I'll show you the picture. You can look at her all day long. You get excited for a 90-year-old woman. What do you care for? I took it out. So I didn't take it out. It's a big deal. Are you losing your energy on this over here? They took it out. Big deal. If they would have asked me, I wouldn't say to take it out. They don't ask me these questions. They put in stuff that they should take out. They put in, okay, we know that already. But when the guys ask me, you believe when they took out a 90-year-old picture, are you getting excited from it? I'll send you the picture. You can look at it all day long now and get excited from this. People. Anyway, one time in the magazine, they had a picture of teeth from a dentist. Guy sent us a letter. Oh, it looks like ladies' teeth. I tell you, listen, we can control the magazine, but for perverts that are already writing us letters, that this looks like ladies' teeth. I mean, the guys, this is what we're up against. I mean, I'm not too sure that we can't put ladies in a magazine. I'm not even too sure about that policy itself. I mean, but that's another story. That's another story. I'm sure before the modern era of, you know, everybody's doing everything to outdo the next guy in Frumkeit, I'm sure the older magazines of whatever it was that the Gedolim approved of, there was pictures of ladies in the magazine, dressed modestly, and faces, and whatever. Don't look. Don't say you're not allowed to stare. Don't say you can't look. When you talk to a lady, when you look on the floor like the tzaddikim, or you look at her face? You guys also fell into this. You don't look. Okay, good. You don't look. You talk to a lady in the street, you don't look. You look down. Okay, good luck to you. There's no isud. Okay, today we live in the... But the guys are making all the tumult, and they're on the internet all day long, looking at other things that they shouldn't. But they're making a tumult that we shouldn't put the teeth of a lady in with braces on, no less. And this guy's saying, hey, where's the 90-year-old lady? They took her out of the picture. This is what we're up against. Anyway... Back to our story. So you have over here in the Torah, why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's name in the Haggadah of Pesach? They're all upset. Different answers have been given. The answer that I gave is the following. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all men, that we know already. Now, let's go back to the origin of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. It's difficult to find the origin. Some put the Haggadah 1,100 years ago, to the times of the Geonim. That's when they say the first Haggadah, you know, came out. That's before Manischewitz came out with the Haggadah. Before Maxwell House came out with the Haggadah. That was even before Maxwell House was the Gaon of Hai. But I said that the first Haggadah Shel Pesach, well, the pasuk says, "V'higatal lebincha b'yom mahu lemor." Tell your children. Now, who really had the chiyuv to tell their children more than anybody else of what happened in Egypt?
People who were there.
No, the people that were in Mitzrayim did not have to tell their children. They saw it. The real one that had the real mekoyim mitzvah v'higatal lebincha was Moshe. They kids did not. They didn't know anything. So that's why the pasuk says in this week's parasha, "Ulma anteseper beoznet bincha uben bincha." God's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ulma anteseper, the chiyuv of Haggadah Shel Pesach started by Moshe telling his children and grandchildren et asher et'alalti. Now, if the original Haggadah was said by Moshe, clearly he's not going to mention his name in the Haggadah because he's the most humble man. What he's going to tell us, when he's going to say, and then I did this, and then I did that, then I went, then I did that. You think that's what type of Haggadah that was? Moshe Rabbeinu not going to mention his name. Because he doesn't want to take the credit. So therefore, our Haggadah models the original Haggadah Shel Pesach. And since the original Haggadah Shel Pesach, Moshe was telling it over to his children, and for sure he's not going to boast about his own accomplishments. So that follows the model. But of course, you know, they know better. They already reconstructed the Haggadah. Instead of asking, You know, guy comes and says, hey, what's this pipe over here? Well, I don't think we need this pipe over here. They destroy the pipe, the whole building falls down. So that was, by the way, holding up the whole building. We thought that we needed reconstructing. Now what? Now we'll put it back together. So they destroyed the Haggadah in the name of reconstruction. And if they would have came and asked, they would have given 10 answers to why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not in the Haggadah Shepesah, and that would have been satisfactory. Anyway, so it's an amazing thing that they were deprived of all the you know, the wonders of Mitzrayim and all that took place, Shira Tayam, etc. Good, that's that's that. So comes Rabbeinu Ha'ari. Rabbeinu, he says amazing thing. He says, here you have now the Jewish people are in contempt of the Brit Milah. They're not fulfilling the mitzvah of the Milah Kahogan. A Sefer Adnei Paz says they weren't doing Piri'ah even. They were doing the Milah, they weren't even doing Piri'ah correctly. That means they weren't, this mitzvah was not significant to them. That's why they got sold to Yavin and Sisera that connected to this Avon. When Devorah comes along, Devorah's, one of her purposes is to mehazek Inyan of Kiddusha and Klal Yisrael. That's why when she eventually sings her song, what does she say? Befroa peraot beYisrael. Her first part of her song mentions Klal Yisrael is doing Piri'ah again. That's one of the pesukim that we say at the Brit Milah when they're waiting to do the Milah. We say Befroa peraot beYisrael bitnat devam barichu Adonai. That's from Shirat Devorah. Where did Devorah get this koach that she has to the Brit Milah? Says the Ben Wari that she was the Gilgul of Tzipora Eshet Moshe. And since Tzipora Eshet Moshe did the Brit Milah of her son, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent back this lady. And since she was deprived of saying the Shira, that's why the pasuk says, "Vatashar Devorah." Borei Olam gave her back an opportunity. You missed that shira, no problem. We're not going to deprive you of the shira. You'll get your own shira, and this becomes one of the 10 shirot that Klal Yisrael had: the shira Tayyav, the shira Devorah. It's a makeup for what she missed. However, the Torah comes along and says, that Vatishlah Batikra Barak ben Abinoam. Who is this tzaddik called Barak ben Abinoam? Who was it? Well, the Mekubalim say that if you remember when the Torah was given, Har Sinai, it says there was Berakim, there was bolts of lightning. That already, when you see the word Barak, you think of Matan Torah, the Berakim. Not only that, but there is a famous mizmor in the Tehillim. Not all the Tehillim were written by David HaMelech Alav Hashalom. David compiled them, of course, but some of the Tehillim was written by different authors. For example, you have Lam Naseach Ibn Korach. They wrote a chapter of Tehillim. Maskil le'etana Ezrahi. You know, the different names of Tzaddikim that contributed to the Tehillim. You got the Tehillim book? Beauty. So you have, well, if you guys are saying the Tikkun HaKlali, in the, I think it's chapter 90, if I'm not mistaken. The Tzaddik. What does it say in chapter 90? Here it is. Well, chapter 89 is Maskil Le'etana Ezrahi. And chapter 90 is Ishtabach Shemo. Tefillah LeMoshe. Ish HaElohim. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a tefillah LeMoshe. And at the end of this Tefillah LeMoshe, which we're going to say tomorrow, we say it on Shabbat as well, Moshe Rabbeinu coins the phrase, V'yinoav Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Adonai Ma'aseh Adonai Ne'eu. He's the author of that famous saying. Says the Mekubalim that if Tziporah is Deborah, and she was married to Barak, so Barak must be Moshe. And that's why they call him Barak, which represents the Berakim of Matan Torah. Ben Avi Noam. He is the father of the Vehi Noam, of the one that wrote in the Tehillim, Vehi Noam Hashem Elokeinu. So they call him Avi Noam. Avi Noam is the father of it. So this is deja vu all over again in the story. Why did Moshe have to come back? What did he do to come back? Exactly. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes the tzaddik comes back to help somebody else make a tikkun. And sometimes he comes back to help Klal Yisrael. Not because he has to fix anything. In this case, it was a little of both. The pasuk writes... that's exactly what they say. They say what happened was Tziporah was upset. So what happened? Upset that Moshe left. So remember I asked you, "Vatishlach vatikra leBarak." She sent to call for Barak. Where was Barak? So the Radak writes, "Im hayta ishto hayta perusha me'etet nabeuta." She separated from Barak because she became a nevi'ah. So that was. That was like a tikkun. You were upset. Now the same thing had to happen to her. It just reversed. The Radak says she became a prophet. And she told her husband, listen, I got, now it's okay. Last time, you were screaming, yelling, you went to the rabbi. Now, when you become a rabbi, okay, ma'ilah, atati abiti bajati. So therefore, she has to make the tikkun with the shlach, but the krali Barak. She had to call Barak back. I need you. Because she was upset. So she brought him back. That made the tikkun of that old thing over there. And the last thing that we have to know is another part of this story, which works out so perfectly. So now you have Moshe, and you have Tzipora, and who's the one that kills Sisera?
Moshe.
Hever Hakeni, which is Yitro's great. So the whole Mamasha. The family reunion. Everybody comes back in this Perek Dalet and Sefer Shofetim. Yitro's involved. Moshe, Tziporah. But Arizal said there's one more cog to the story. And he says that there is a story in Parashat Vayeshev. We have Vayeshev over here. We have the article in front of you. Yeah, Bereshit, beauty. These blue homashim, I'm telling you, incredible. Really good purchase for the synagogue. So what does it say in Parashat Vayeshev? In Parashat Vayeshev, so that's the story, you have Erve Onan. That's the Avon of the Zera Labatala of Erve Onan. Er is Otiot Ra, Onanism, as they call it, these guys. And then he says over here, Yehuda, his wife passed away, Batshua. So it says, "Vayugad leTamar leMor." They tell Tamar, who is his daughter-in-law, "Hineh amich olet Timnata." Your father-in-law is going to take the road to Timna. "Vatasar begdei al minuta." She takes off her widow clothes. "Vatechas b'sa'if." She puts on the sa'if, a special type of kerchief. "Vatetalav v'teshev bepetach enayim." She sits on the fork in the road over there. "Beparashat derachim." So now, when Yehuda is going to walk, she's sitting at the fork in the road. She's going to bump into her. And from there, he'd come into my tent and the whole thing, and then he realized that it was Tamar. But this is what happens in the story of it. Now, the tzaddikim obviously have everything worked out, why she's sitting at the fork in the road, why it's considered, all that's worked out. We're not saying anything about the tzaddikim. However, there was a breach in the... Hazak Baruch Adi, you got it? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, but you went out, you got cold for us. Why only two today? That's it. Maybe Sam wants this one. You
want to get a cup, I'll get one.
Okay, beautiful. Okay. Okay, Elliot, let's just make this quick. Okay. So now what happens is, to sit in Petach Enayim, it's a lack of modesty. She's standing in a place, she wasn't modest, on her level, to sit in Petach Enayim, with the purpose of the men, sees her. So, over here, interestingly enough, it says that our great tzaddik, Devorah, she would sit under this tree over here. And why did she sit under this this palm tree over here? So the Hakamim say, because she was concerned about Yehud. That's a strange place to have an office, under a palm tree. The people were coming up for advice. Okay, where's your office? No, I don't have an office. I'm outside under the palm tree. What do you mean? This is where we have an office? Why? Because she was worried about the problem of Yehud, because men are coming to get advice from her. So you hear what Tamar did, who sat the Petach Enayim, that Yehuda should see her. She actually sat in a place so there should not be a problem of... I know that face. Baruch Haba. You can shut the lights. Rabbi Friedman's here. The light is here. Bring the rabbi a chair. Rabbi there, good. We're just learning a few minutes of Navi.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens is Rabbeinu Ari writes that the Tomer is a palm tree, as we know. The way you would spell Tomer, I don't know how Tomer spells his name, but you would spell it Tav Vav Memresh. That's how you spell it? Of course, Tomer has a Vav in it. However, if you look in our Navi that we're learning, Tomer is written without a Vav, which therefore can be read Tamar. Says Rabbeinu Ari, that because Tamar sat with Petach Enayim, which is the public area, although she was Lashem Shammai, we're not questioning it, but the Tzaddikim Hashem gets them even on a small infraction. And where is Devorah sitting? Under the tree, so there will be no Yehud. Which means to fix the tikkun of sitting bepetach enayim, so therefore, Rabbeinu Ari reads the pasuk, Vehi Yoshevet, her soul is sitting where? Tachat Tamar Devorah. That under Tamar, instead of Tamar, Tachat Tamar Devorah. So Devorah is carrying a lot of old souls. Devorah is carrying the soul of Sipporah Eshet Moshe, who has the tikkun of the Brit Milah, who has the tikkun of the Shirah that she missed, because she didn't sing. And she has the tikkun of Sipporah that was upset when Moshe left, because he was a prophet, and she became a prophet now and made her husband leave her, Barak. And who was Barak? Barak was Moshe, Ben Avi Noam, the father who wrote Vehi Noam, which is in Tehillim. So therefore, there's nobody more suitable to make this tikkun than Devorah. Because since the Avon of Klal Yisrael at the time was what? Was the sin of Er Ve'onan, by Yasu Adam Ben Hashem. So therefore, Tamar comes back into Devorah, and Devorah is able to be the shofet. Now, the last thing that we have to just analyze. You know what? I have a sefer. Somebody just gave it to me this week when I was in Muncie.
never be able to find the left or against him. He brought me a sefer of the Rokeyah. The Rokeyah.
That's one of the Rishonim. That's the rabbi of the Ramban, the Rokeyah. And he is discussing what's Naftali got to do with everything over here. Well, if you look in Bereshit, if I'm not mistaken, when Yaakov Avinu blessed the tribes before he passed away, so one of the tribes he blessed was Naftali. Let's see what he said here. To Naftali, he said the following. Naftali. Ayala Shiluha Anotin Imre Shafir. So he comes along and says, Naftali is the one that is going to be involved in giving good news. And Notin Imre Shafir. Imre Shafir is good news. So Rashi says, Al Yadam Sharu Devora Ubarak Shira. You see that? They sang a Shira. Devora and Barak sang good songs. What's the songs that they sang? Shira Devora. So it seems from Rashi that both Barak and Devorah were from Naftali. Because Yaakov Abinu already saw this whole story in his prophecy. So he said, there's going to come a day where both of you are going to give a good shira for Klal Yisrael. And Shafet, you're going to sing a song on a great victory. So he writes over here that when you have a child, when you have a child who is not circumcised, Brit Milah, which we're learning in Halakot Milah, he doesn't have a neshama yet. The neshama doesn't come in permanently until the Brit Milah. That's probably why we don't name the child, because the neshama and the name are very related. Like we said, the middle letters of Neshama is Shem. So therefore, the name comes at the time that the Neshama comes in as well. So it's a big time, the Brit Milah. Not only the fact that we're doing the circumcision, but now he's la'ui to be B'Shem Yisrael Yikareh. Yikareh Shemo B'Yisrael. It's a big thing. So the Tzadikim say that the neshama is compared to a ner. Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam. You ever see when we want to have light a candle in memory of, why do we light a candle? Why don't you go fly a kite? What are you lighting a candle for? The memory of a tzaddik. Because the ner represents a neshama. Ner neshama. For whatever reason, either because it's spiritual, you know, it's something that you can see but you can't touch. It's something that goes up. Normally things come down, fire goes against the gravity. So it's like a neshama that really its craving is to go up. It really doesn't want to stay. Or because it flickers. That's why they say human beings are always flickering when we're learning. You know, you're shaking and the neshama is like a flame. So you ever see when we're learning and when we're praying? We're always moving. Why we're always moving? Because the neshama is it's flickering, it's moving. So therefore, if you see a guy sitting there learning like a stick, You have to take out the bellows and start, giving him some life to his neshama. Although we explained once differently why we shake when we learn, because David HaMelech says Zimirot Ayuli Hokecha, the Torah is music. So when you hear music, automatically, you move around. So, but if you don't hear the music, if you go to the Brooklyn Public Library, you see a bunch of stones sitting there, and if somebody sneezes, the whole place looks. Don't wake us up. Everybody's sleeping over here. But you go to the Beit Midrash, they all, because they hear the beat. Anyway, so what happens is, the Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes that the human being is his body. Well, his body you need to put the nail somewhere. You need to put the nail somewhere. You can't put a nail in an empty place. Where do you put the nail? On the wick. The nail goes onto the petila. So therefore, he says the human being when he's born is a petila. He's a wick. But you gotta light it. When does that happen? At the time of the Brit Milah, Vayom HaShemini Yimol. That's why, now I'm giving you a secret, why our custom is that at the Brit Milah we have the Saniyah of Eliyahu HaNavi. And what's in the Saniyah of Eliyahu HaNavi? All these candles. And we go around and everybody's lighting the candles. What is the purpose of lighting these candles at the Brit Milah? Because since at the Brit Milah the child is getting Nen Neshama, so we're giving a remez of this concept. You know, before God does it, we have to make a poel demyon, like Rabbi Friedman always talks about. You know, you have to act it out, you know, on earth to activate this. So how do you activate it on earth? How would I activate bringing a neshama down into a child? You light a candle. Now, we're not lighting down the neshama to anybody. We're lighting it for the life, for the living. So Sanit Eliyahu HaNavi is a big inyan. It's a big inyan. Of course, Eliyahu is gematria ben. So therefore, we want to bring the neshama into the ben. So therefore, we have that menhag. That's a good kavanah. When you light a candle, a ben, that the baby should get a proper neshama at the moment. Should be b'shaar tova muslacha. Huh? You put money in for zechut. For zechut. Are you take? We're wondering where all that money was going. I was wondering, it's missing money. Now I know the guy who's been taking all the money from the city all these years. I mean, who taught you that? John Gotti, who taught you that? Take the money from the city? Where'd you learn that from? Anyway. Nefesh. It's not the Emet. So it's unbelievable. So what happens is that on the Brit Milah you have a petilah, and you add the ner, and you have a beautiful candle now. You have an unbelievable finished product. So what happens over here, you have these two great tzaddikim, Devorah Gilgula Tziporah, who is committed to the Brit Milah, because she was Mosirat Nefesh for the Brit Milah of her son, Tziporah that is. You have over here Barak ben Abi Noam, who obviously we said is Moshe Rabbeinu, and both of them together were able to bring Klai Yisrael back to the Inyan of Kiddusha after they fell in the time of Sisera. Now if I make a point now. Remember we said Kiddushat HaBerit is Talui Kiddushat HaPeh. If Sipora has this inyan of the Kiddusha of the Berit, because she's Sipora, that she mal da son, so then Moshe Rabbeinu has Kiddushat HaPeh. Remember we discussed it a few years back from the Maharal, that Moshe Rabbeinu's impediment in his tongue was not a bad thing. Everybody was, oh, poor guy, and had a lisp. We talked about it last week. You looked at it, you saw the Maharal. It's an amazing Maharal. He says that, Adrabah, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have a physical tongue, it would interfere with the Kiddushah that's coming out of his mouth. You know, we all have a physical mouth that it's in the way. So we have to use our physical mouth to speak the Vrei Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was so kadosh that his physical mouth had no... There's no barrier. There's no... Kibat pepe, kibat lashon, is to get it out of the way. In order that what's coming out of his mouth is just coming from the side of Kiddushah. So they say that's the zechut of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is zechut of Barak ben Abi Noam, who is Moshe Rabbeinu. So between Sipporah and Barak ben Abi Noam, you have Kiddushat HaBerit and Kiddushat HaPeh. Yeah, both of them combined together. It's a beautiful match. In order to fight this Atrahara of Ra. So if I'm not mistaken, the Rokeyah writes, and I have to find it, I have it in my office. Look in my office, but maybe on the shelf, they put it somewhere. The Rokeya, it says, Bereshit. Anyway, if I'm not mistaken, he says, that's why when Yaakov Abinu's blessing Shevet Naphtali. So he says, Naphtali, Ayalash Sheluchan, Uten Imre Shafer. He gets one pasuk. And then she says, what is it predicting? The story of Devorah and Barak, what they're going to do in the future. So he writes that the pasuk starts with a nun, Naphtali, and ends with a resh. He says it's the shetevot and sotvetevot, the word ner, because they are going to make the tikkun of the ner. And what's the tikkun of the ner? Befroa peraot b'Yisrael b'nadev am. Klai Yisrael wasn't doing piri'ah in the times of Sisera. And therefore he hinted to them that they're going to make the ner. And that's why he says, you call the shevet Naphtali. Because if you take the word Naphtali, the middle letters are what? Pe, Taf, Lamed. Which basically is what? Petilah, is the root word of Petilah. So in the name of Naphtali itself, there's a remez of the inyan of the Petilah and the inyan of the Ner, which is Merumaz, which they did. They lived in the Shema when they did the Brit Milah correctly of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it's not a coincidence. And we'll leave it with this, and next week, of course, we'll continue it, or whenever we come back, from wherever we're going. You have it there? No, you don't. What do you got there? Oh, no, I don't need Shemot. I need my Bereshit. Oh, beautiful. Look at that, Harry. You did it. Let's see if I said it right. I mean, don't hold me to it. Now we'll see it in the source. Sorry about these delays. It was kedai to see it in the sources. Let's see where it is over here. Okay, it's in a couple of different places here. Okay, there's one Naphtali. Doesn't say it over here. You know how it works? He has like many, many different dirachim. How to explain each pasuk over here. Alright, I won't take too much of your time, but I think I said it more or less the way it is. Zebulun, Yisachar, Asher Naphtali. Sheluchan Oten Imre Shafer. Oh, he said another one. Naphtali Ayala Sheluchah. Hanoten Imre Shafer. So Hanoten Imre Shafer Ayala Sheluchah Hanoten is Rashi Tevot Isha, which is a remez to Devorah. Bezut Devorah, Isha Nevi'ah. ולכן כל השבטים נתברכו בלשון זכר. All the שבטים were blessed in male language. כי אם נפתלי תחילה לשון נקבה, איילה שלוחה. נפתלי was a female. So the Rokeya says, because נפתלי is connected to Devorah. So Yaakov Abinu already is giving her the beracha. Didn't we say it's strange? All the tribes, the men, here's Devorah the lady. Yaakov said, נפתלי איילה שלוחה. And not only that, but I gave the remez שלוחה. She was sent because she had to leave her husband. Because when she came, this over here. Hanoten Imre Shafer al Shem Batasha Devorah Ubarak. And then he discusses the name, not in this piece, but he says. Shiluha hanoten emre shafer sofet tevot rina, which is the shirush paha that they sent. And then in the next piece, he discusses another one, which he gives this remez of the nederais. So he goes through all these rebazim in the Rokeya. So it's the lesson for us is over here that these stories in the Nevi'im obviously are a completion of a lot of old stories. So you can't learn really these perashiyot that we're learning without knowing. You know, when did it come to its conclusion? But Naphtali, it should be noted, is significant tribe. I once saw this brought down in the Sefer, and I'll conclude with this. Obviously, we have to say that Naphtali's tribe had inyan of Shemirat Ainayim and Shemirat Berit. So where do we see it? So I once saw that the Gemara says that if somebody takes Pesi'ah Gasa, if somebody runs, so Bar Minan affects their eyesight. Now, if you could find somebody that runs and it doesn't affect their eyesight, that must mean that they have such Shemirat Ainayim that the Naglayim doesn't affect the Ainayim. We always thought, and we're right, that the Peh and the Berit are connected, but now we're learning another connection between the Naglayim and Ainayim. The Naglayim larutz l'ra'ah, when the legs are running to see bad things, so I mean, the Naglayim and the eyes are partners. The eye wants to see something, the Naglayim facilitates. How can the guy go see it? He's got to get there. So the Naglayim and the Ainayim, they work for each other. So therefore, the Gemara says, if a person's running, it takes away from his eyesight. And the rem is meaning if he's running, it could affect his eyesight. He's running, but if you see somebody that's running and you don't see any effect, it must be he's running for the right things. So what does they say about Naphtali? Naphtali was a runner. Remember when Yaakov Abinu passed away? They said Naphtali because he's... he runs. That's his koah. Ayalash shiluchai, like as swift as a gazelle. He's running. And over there, there's no negative against him. So it must be that his shemirat enayim was so strong, Naphtali, that the running and the pisiot was. It's the Gemara says unless it's for a sorech mitzvah, it doesn't affect. So obviously his raglayim was for a sorech mitzvah, therefore it didn't have effect in his eyes. That's just the image to show that Naphtali had that connection. Nonetheless. For our purposes, this will... Now, one just quick word on the parasha. We have Rabbi Friedman here, which I'm very, very grateful for him to join us. We've been getting his Devrei Torah over the past couple of weeks. It's been off the charts. And on a bad week, it's off the charts. So you can imagine on these weeks, if it takes off the charts, it's incredible. There's no such thing as a bad week. Anyway, just one quick idea on the inyan of the makot that we're talking about. On the inyan of the makot, so you have, in this week's parasha, the makah of Arbeh, Hoshech, and makat Bechorot. The last three. We learned last week already, you see the division of 7 and 3. The last three makot came from from the Mohin, from the high place, from the Gar, from the Gimel Rishonot. In any event, the question that we had, which is a simple question, on the Haggadah Shel Pesach, when Rabbi Yehudaya Notem Bahem Simanim, so he says, Datzak, Adash, and Be'ahav, he puts Barad in the last section, which technically Barad belongs before. These three are its own parasha. These three, like we learned last week, are its own madriga. Why did Rabbi Yehuda, when he gave the simanim, he put the barad at the, with Arbeh? Now I know you get, because it rhymes, because it fits. Not interested in those type of answers. He would figure it out that it should go there. What are you going to say? Dasach, Adashab? If we have to say that, so we'll say that. We'd get used to it. You're only used to this way because we've been saying it for so many years. And if Adashab was the way you would say it, you'd get used to that. So that doesn't bother those type of answers. So what's the explanation? So if you look at this week's parasha, the Pasuk writes that God says, go down, we're going to make a joke of Paro. Tashirat alalti b'mitzrayim. We're going to make a mockery. That implies that this makah made a mockery of Paro. Although the other plagues certainly, didn't make Paro look good. But this is like a mockery of this guy. Tashir ta'alalti b'mitzrayim. What's the ta'alalti? So the Mefarshim say something incredible. In America, we talk about the setup. You want to set somebody up. How do you set him up? You keep him calm. You don't let him know it's coming. In the Torah it says, "Lifnei shever gaon." That means before you make a guy fall, you lift him up a little. So when he falls from a higher place. Lifnei shever gaon. So the person has to be careful. Sometimes the guy's, maybe it's a setup. Maybe they're setting me up. Maybe all this gaon that's happening is... So you have to be humble. Don't let the gaon get to your head. Lifnei shever, before a destruction, gaon is a gaon. So what happens? What happens is, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro and says, we're bringing the barad. Well, the barad comes, and it definitely, it caused catastrophe throughout the land. And the pasuk says at the end of last week's parasha, what was last week's parasha? Bo, Vayera. So at the end of last week's parasha, it says, וישלח פרעה ויקרא למשה לאהרון ויאמר להם חטאתי הפעם השם הצדיק והם רשעים עתירו אל השם, pray to השם ויאמר אליו משה כיצד תעיר אמר לגבי הצד הסירי, lift his hands up ויתוק למטה, אתה כולו יבדלו ויהיו יעוד ואתה בעבדיך, משה אומר שידעתי כי תירם תירנו לפני השם it's not over משה רבנו knew that it wasn't over yet the next פסוק says והפשתה והסעורה נוקעתה כי הסעורה אביב והפשתה גבעול והייתה בקוסמת לא נוקו כי אפילות הנה. That's a strange pasuk. Tell me this now. After the plague is over, the plague is over now. The pasuk says, oh, by the way, P.S. It was the flax and the barley that got hit because the barley ripens early. והייתה בקוסמת, but the spelt and the wheat לא נוקו כי אפילות הנה. So now that you got the agricultural report of Egypt from 3,500 years ago. We're happy to have that report. The Farmer's Almanac from Egypt. But the plague's over. This should have been written when the plague was happening, that the plague hit the wheat and not the barley and not the wheat. So Rav Shimon Schwab said on this, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're not going to let us go. You're not going to let us go. You're not there yet, Paro. Now the Pasuk is telling us how Moshe knew that. He didn't tell this to Paro. But the Pasuk says, what got damaged? The barley. Barley is not a main crop. Barley is the crop for the animals. Moshe Rabbeinu knows what Paro is thinking. They said, listen, it's a great plague, Barad. But the timing was off. Because if the plague would have came 3 weeks later, it would have hit the wheat. Then that would have been a... So therefore... Paro in his brain is saying, you know, good trick, but you know, it seems your God, the clock was wrong. You know, he didn't set his clock for daylight savings. The clock was off. The Barad, it would have been debilitating if it came a week. So he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, good trick, but it's not perfect. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki terim tiriun, I know you, Paro. You're not convinced. Now the Torah says, why Moshe knew that? Because v'apishta v'aseranu kata. He says he knows Paro's good, but guess what? That's the setup. So now Paro's walking around. I missed it. He missed it. They missed the Hutin. They missed the Hutin. Now God says, now you ready? Now we put him on a pedestal. Let him walk around saying that. In the newspapers, they write, Moshe makes a mistake. Barad comes 2 weeks early. Crop saved. Wheat futures flying on the COMEX. Everything is everything's fine in Egypt. Let him, as we say, gloat. Let him gloat a little. Now, hitashirit alalti. Now I'm going to make a joke on him. All of a sudden, what happens? The next parasha comes along and says that God brings the plague of what? Arbeh. And all of a sudden, what happens? The barah, the kisat in the aris. Velo yukhal otu the aris. Ve'achal et yetra pelita hanish'eret lachem in the barah. All the stuff that the barad didn't eat, because they were not in the field for the barad to get, by the time this plague came, the wheat came. Now, Moshe comes in. But who are you saying with the wheat and all that? God made a mistake. God only did that to bring another plague on you. Two for one.
He could have done it in one shot, but he wanted to make a fool out of you just to bring another plague so we could have more Makot and Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and we could have more Devere Torah, we could have more, you know, Hadushim. So he brought the Makat Arbe as well. Now on this incredible Makat of Arbe, as we all know, it doesn't really say in the Torah that God told Moshe to bring Makat Arbe. It doesn't say anywhere Arbe. It's the only Makat that's, you know, left to Moshe's, you know, his own decision. It doesn't say anywhere. Go tell Paro there's going to be Arbe. Hatam Sofer says, a big Hiddush over here. He says, actually, it was up to Moshe to figure out which Makai wants to bring. Very interesting. But, you know, Moshe gets a wild card. You know, what do you want to bring? Want to bring this plague, that plague? He decided to bring Arbe. What's the explanation of that? That Moshe Rabbeinu brings the Arbe. They also bring down, strangely enough, that the Makot. Tav Sofer says all this. Listen, you need zechut for these makot to come down. He says the makot could not come b'zchut Avraham Avinu, because Avraham lived in Egypt. He benefited from the Egyptians. And, you know, the Gemara says the well that you drank from, you shouldn't throw stones in. So, you know, Avraham Avinu is going to petition for makot on the Egyptians. He abdicated that zechut. Yaakov also, the last 17 years of his life, he lived in Egypt. So the Hatam Sofer says, the zechut of the Makot came b'zchut Yitzhak Avinu. Yitzhak Avinu was there, because he never left Egypt. He never left Eretz Israel. It's got nothing to do with him. So Yitzhak Avinu was the inyan of the Makot. That's his zechut. He even says deeper, the Hatam Sofer. He says that the last three makot were the really knockout punches. The first seven makot, you know, they were easy on Paros, more or less. The last three, that's it, they went after his guts. This is why Hatam Sofer says, Rav Shimshon Astropol, he writes that when God said to Moshe, Boel Paro, he did say this many times, he was giving him a remez, you know. I'm going to let you pick whatever you want, but Boel Paro. Why? The bet in Hebrew can be switched with a peh. Bet and peh come from the same, the interchangeable letters. Babkor. The Arabs cannot say peh. To them, a peh is a bet. And aleph and ayin are also interchangeable. They come from the same, you know, the same spot. The garon. So God was telling Moshe, listen, Moshe, Paro's got a pe in his name, he's got an ayin in his name. Well, take out those pe and the ayin and put a bet in an aleph instead. Now, if you change the pe for a bet and you change the aleph for an aleph, ayin for an aleph, you have arbe. So the pasuk says, bo el Paro. Put bo, bet, aleph into Paro. And you put bo into Paro, there you go, you have abracadabra, you have arbe. Okay, that's what Shimshon was talking about. Beauty, bo el Paro. So Hatam Sofer adds, why does he have to tell them that way? Just don't bring Arbe. You know, boy, but oh, they have to switch letters, make a transplant, make a whole alphabet soup. Just boy, bring the Arbe. Why is it boy, but oh? So he says, because he says the first seven makot, Paro had a zechut. What was Paro's zechut? He says he hosted Yaakov Avinu. You got to give him credit for that. Yaakov came down red carpet. Goshen, yeshiva, everything. Paro has zechut. Listen, you serve the tzaddik, it's a zechut. We cannot deny that. You serve tzaddikim, you get a zechut. We know that already. Somebody has zechut to serve tzaddikim. Og Melech HaBashan served Avraham Avinu one time. He lived forever, almost. Moshe Rabbeinu was scared to kill him because he thought Og would overpower him because he helped Avraham once. So could you imagine Paro, he helped Yaakov Avinu. Hatam Sofer says, he didn't help him for 17 years, he helped him for 147 years. Because if the end is good, his whole life is good. You know, he died, rested in peace, Yaakov Avinu. So he says, he said that we have to go easy on Paro until the zechut of Yaakov Abinu is up. Once the zechut is up, then we'll kill him. So he says, the zechut of the 147 years lasted until Makat Arbe. Once Makat Arbe came, finished, over. Now we can kill Paro. What happened, he says? He says, the remez is because if you take the letters that we took out of Paro's name, we took a pe and an ayin. A pe is, I guess, 80, and ayin is 70. So that's 150. And we replaced the 150 with a bet and an aleph, which is 3. Of course, the spread is 147. He says, now the 147 years of Yaakov Abinu, they're up. Now, bo el Paro, and bring Makat Arbeh, which is Gematria Yitzhak, and therefore now we're going to bring the Midat Tadin of Yitzhak, and we're going to kill him. So until then, it was just, you know, giving him slight punches that came from the Zayin Tachtonot. But the top three now are going to come, because Zechut, that's why he said that they gave that name. He just added that the Inyan of Yitzhak Avinu and the Makot, even if you look in last week's parasha, the Baal HaTirim says, Va'era, Va'era Gematria Yitzhak. It's 208 also. The Merameh is that all these parashiyot on the Zechut of Yitzhak Avinu. So we said like this. What was the fight over here between Paro and Moshe? The whole way through. Paro always said, you can go for 3 days. You can go for 3 days. So go. But he kept on saying, don't take the children. Don't take the children. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, forget about it. We don't take the children, we're not going. That's the whole thing. What's the fight over here? Remember we said from Rav Hutna, Alav Shalom, what was the fight of Amalek? Which is the same fight as Paro. It's the same cloth. Remember we said the fight of Amalek was? Milhama Hashem ba'Amalek midor dor. You know where Amalek stands? Between the generations. Amalek stands where a father will not be able to transmit the Torah to the next generation. He stands right there, midor dor, in between the generations. His fight is against Torah Shem Al-Peh, the Mesorah. As long as Klal Yisrael does not have a Mesorah that you can pass down from father to son, there's no Klal Yisrael. You don't need a father to give the book. The book, the kid can read on his own. But he needs the interpretation of the book, the Torah Shem Al-Peh. Amalek stands right there to break, to cause a schism between one door to the next. Once already there's an interference in the transmission, then the perpetuation of Judaism ends. Understand what's going on? Paro was no different. Paro started that minhag. Amalek just continued it. Paro is the head of these Rishayim. That's what the Arizal says, Paro's peh ra. He was going after the Torah Shabbat peh. The peh. He knew that Klai says, En koham ila bapeh. This Torah Shabbat peh. That's why God told Moshe at the burning bush, don't worry, we're going to get the Har Sinai. That's the goal. He doesn't want you to get the Har Sinai. We're going to get the Har Sinai. We get the Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat peh. Anyway, what happens to Paro? He says, don't let the children, because he doesn't want the children. Because once you have the children there, there's a continuation. So he keeps on fighting. No children, no children, no children allowed. Old men, Baruch Abba, bring all the chatyarim, bring all the old ladies, let them dance, let them sing, let them in kurbanot. No children. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say anything. Now watch. Where is the source of Torah Shebaal Peh? By the way, I'm going back. If you notice, what was the first decree of Paro? His first decree was Penyirbe. He doesn't want the population of the Jewish. But the kids, everything in Paro is the kids. Penyirbe. Penyirbe. Now, of course, God said, Kenyirbe. Moshe said, Paro says, Pen, and of course, God says, that's why when Paro tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Lochem, lechuna hagevarim. Moshe, you want to have ken yirbe? He says, lochem, I'm not interested in the ken yirbe. That ken over there is going back on ken yirbe. Lochem, I'm not interested in ken yirbe. You know my goal. My goal is pen yirbe. I'm trying to break it. Where is what happens? Where is the roots of Torah Shebaal Peh? This is the part Hatam Sofer says. The root of Torah Shebaal Peh is from who? From Yitzhak Avinu. By the Akedah Yitzhak, everybody says this, that Avraham Avinu, he heard it from God. Okay, he heard it from God. I don't think it would be any less. If you heard it from God, you're going to do it. The Gadut was in Yitzhak. Where did he hear it from? He heard it from his father. He didn't get a tzibui. So this is the first example of Torah Shebaal Peh, a Mesorah that a father is telling his son, this is what Hashem wants. Now, you know how much emunat hachanim you have to have? Dad, did you hear it right? Is that what he meant? I'm sure he said it, but he probably meant Yishmael. You know, Yitzhak and Yishmael, same that is almost. The first yesod of Torah Shebaal Peh is in what? Yitzhak Avinu. The fact that he listened to his father, even though he didn't have a clear Torah Shebichtav. That's the Yad of Yitzhak. Now what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu knows that we need the Zichut of Yitzhak after this guy who's going to stop the Torah Shebaal Peh. He doesn't want the children. He is stopping the children. The first child to be born in this Mesorah is Yitzhak. In the Mesorah of Klai Yisrael, the first child to be born is Abraham's child. So who better Zichut to come along and mehazek with Paro's trying to fight them to go back to the origins of where Torah Shebaal Peh begins, which is Yitzhak Avinu. And what does the Pasuk say when God tells Avraham Avinu that he's going to have a child? Ve'arbe lo et zar'o. Ve'eten lo et Yitzhak. Moshe Rabbeinu says, good, I'm bringing Arbe. That's the one we're going to bring. That's the one we're going to bring. You give me a choice which one to bring. You're trying to break that connection between Abraham and Yitzhak. Ve'arbe lo et zar'o. Ve'arbe, good. We're going to bring the Arbe. Arbe gematria Yitzhak. There's a chut of that inyan that Paro's trying to stop us. That's not a small thing. Now, did he succeed? I have a proof from Nashi that I'm done. I have a proof from Nashi. This is a very, very, to me it's a difficult Nashi, but based on our introductions today, it's really meduyak ad in kids. The Nashi says at the end of this parasha, at the time of Makat Bechorot, when Paro's running around frantically, so what does it say over here? It says that when they're leaving, Vahi b'hatzi alayla, midnight, Bechorot dying all over the place, Vayakom paro alayla, paro gets in the middle of the night, Tzaka gedola, Vayikra l'Moshe, Tzi'u mitoch ami. Get out. Gam atem, gam b'nei Yisrael. Explain it. Don't cheat. Don't get Rashi. By the way, this is the only pasuk I don't read Rashi on. I know how to read it. Gam atem, you and Aharon, get lost. And gam b'nei Yisrael, and take the Jewish people with you. Rashi comes along and says, gam b'nei Yisrael, hataf. She goes out of his way. Where did you know that top? It says B'nai Yisrael. That she's coming along to say, because that was the whole fight from the beginning. Paro always was going to let the adults and the old ladies go. That wasn't the mob. So when he comes along, Gam B'nai Yisrael, Gam is Lerabot. That she's Midayek, not on the word Yisrael. He's Midayek on the word B'nai. The key is the B'nai. That means we got them. Paro finally acquiesced. The children are going to go. And at that point over there, This is a critical pasuk over there. Once Paro acquiesces that the children are going to go, at that point over there, the connection between Dorot now, Dor, has been saved. And the Midav Yitzhak, which is Torah Shebaal Peh, is saved. It's established. And therefore, Makat Arbeh, which Moshe Rabbeinu begins in this Mishparasha, is to start this process of ultimately bringing Paro to that realization that Ba'arbeh lo et Yitzhak. Yitzhak Avinu has to emerge from this. Yitzhak meaning the children of Klal Yisrael. So that's probably why Moshe Rabbeinu alav Shalom chose that Makkah as a remez to Paros pen yirbeh. And God said ken yirbeh, and Moshe Rabbeinu brought Makat arbeh, and therefore it all comes together. Now, let that serve as an introduction to our great rabbi, Friedman, that's here from the Holy Land. I hope he's here on a good occasion. Baruch Hashem. And we'd like to hear some of his pearls of wisdom. Wish the rabbi continued blessing for all his hard work. I'm convinced that, and the rabbi will not admit it, and I don't blame him, he doesn't have to admit it, that the rabbi has a magid that comes to him every night and rings with him. Because it is impossible to find all these mikorot in the such remote places where he pulls them out of it. So Magid Mishari, Maran had a Magid that came to him every night and taught him. So that's my theory that I'm saying. So in 20 years when they say, oh, he had a Magid, you heard it here first. Okay, come on.